infection and the healing comes and he can be restored. So keep Brother Keith in your prayers. We'll save the rest of the announcements and prayer requests for later. Let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2 tonight. Daniel chapter 2. The Bible says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that a king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said unto Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, and his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. We're going to stop here for tonight, and let's go to prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for who you are. As Daniel in his prayer acknowledged, you are the God of heaven. Lord, you're the revealer of secrets. Lord, you're in control. You're sovereign. And we're so thankful that you're a merciful God and that you have a plan and purpose for us as your people and for your glory to be revealed throughout all the nations. Lord, as we study this tremendous portion of Scripture tonight, would you give us a greater vision of you and just your work? May that lead us to further trusting in you, depending upon you, and submitting ourselves to you in obedience. Lord, I ask that you would just fill me with your Spirit's power as I preach tonight and work on behalf of all the hearers as well. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We're studying this evening in this incredible chapter, Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And just as a way of background here, Daniel and his three friends have been ripped from their homes. They're in slavery and captivity in Babylon. And we just studied in Daniel chapter 1 how they chose the best of the best to be in the king's palace. And Daniel and his friends had God's hand upon them. They were favored. And in fact, they were favored because of their purpose. They determined, Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. We studied that last week. And they tried to Babylonianize him and his friends, but they refused and stood firm to their convictions. A great lesson for us tonight as Christians, that our world, our culture is trying to push us into its mold. But the Bible says, be not conformed. We're not conformed to the way of this world, right? But we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we're not going to be like the world. We're going to honor God. A great lesson there. But here in Daniel 2, we see that Daniel is a part of this group, the wise men. His three friends are all a part of this group. And there's this challenge brought, because Nebuchadnezzar has an unusual dream, and he's looking for who's going to interpret this dream. And here we start to see why Daniel is such an amazing prophet. And it's amazing the visions God allowed Daniel to have here in Daniel 2 and other chapters that we'll see in the next few weeks. John Walvoord commented about Daniel's unique ministry. He said, nowhere else in Scripture is a more comprehensive picture given of world history as it stretched from the time of Daniel, 600 years before Christ, to the consummation at the second advent of Christ. It is most remarkable that Daniel was not only given this broad revelation of the course of what Christ called the times of the Gentiles, but also the chronological prophecy of Israel's history, stretching from the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the second advent of Christ, These two major foci of the book of Daniel justify the general description of the book as world history in outline, with special reference to the nation of Israel. In other words, Daniel was able to see such a large scope in history, not only from the time that he was living in, but even future, ultimately, to the kingdom of Christ. And we start to see some of that here in Daniel chapter 2. Another unique thing about Daniel, as we mentioned before, his book was written in a couple of different languages. And starting here in Daniel 2, he's going to switch from Hebrew to Aramaic, specifically starting in verse 7. Aramaic was kind of the general Gentile world language of the day. And it's going to continue until the end of chapter 7. Then it goes back to Hebrew. And it's interesting, these books are written, this section really is really God's address to the Gentile nation. That's kind of who's in view. And then there's going to be a special message to the Jews when it switches back to Hebrew. But let's study first Nebuchadnezzar's demand. Not only does he have a dream, but he has an unusual request with this dream. He had been king for about 2 years, and he had united Nebuchadnezzar's histories. He was the one that was used to kind of unite several different factions and groups. He took over the Assyrian Empire, the Egyptians, and he really put together the world's first great mass empire, the Babylonian Empire. And he has this dream, and it's unusual because he wants his wise men and soothsayers and magicians and these folks that were trusted, his trusted circle, to not only give him the interpretation, but to tell him what he actually dreamed. Interesting request. I want you to tell me what I dreamed and then interpret it for me. And it's hard to know for sure. Maybe he didn't remember the dream himself. And maybe some of you, we can relate. You have many dreams and you remember bits and pieces of the dream, but you can't remember exactly what happened. Maybe he was in that boat and he has this vision, this dream. And ultimately, this dream came from God. God's the one that gave this vision, this dream to him. If you look at verse number 3, he says, "The king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." This dream disturbed him and troubled him because he knew it was something very significant. He knew it was something very important. God revealed himself to King Nebuchadnezzar through these dreams, but the king didn't understand the meaning of what these unusual dreams meant. And this is interesting because this is the God of heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Nebuchadnezzar is a pagan Gentile king, but God is trying to reveal himself to him. It's interesting. I think when we take a step back, what we can take away from this is that's in God's nature. His heart is to reveal himself to man. God doesn't need us. God's self-sufficient. He's God all by himself. But God is merciful and loving, and he has chosen to disclose himself and his will to us. You know, there's some things that we don't have to know, but God wants us to know. Maybe some of you with children, you can relate. You know, your children come and ask, why? And sometimes you're just like, you're not even going to understand if I tell you. I don't have to tell you. It's really the reality of it. But God is merciful. God's gracious. And he wants to reveal himself to us. One of my favorite scriptures is in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's turn there really quickly. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." This scripture is pointing us to Jesus Christ, but at the heart of it is that God wants to reveal himself to man. And God has always been that kind of a God throughout history. He's revealed himself in various ways, and the ultimate revelation of who God is expressed through Jesus. We see God as loving, as compassionate, as merciful. We see God as holy and just, all in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So God wants to reveal himself to us. And some have asked, well, how is God revealing himself to us today in 2022, soon to be 2023? Some wonder, should we continue to look for dreams and visions and these special ways that God revealed himself in the Bible? And I don't think that's the primary source for how we find God. Today, we have his finished work. He's finished the finished word of God. We have his complete revelation to us of who he wants, of what he wants us to know about himself right here in the Bible. This is everything God wants us to know, divinely inspired, preserved, and it's sufficient. It's enough for us, for our faith, for our daily life, for practice. And so we are not commanded to look for visions and dreams to try to discover what God wants us to do. No, we're to look to God's word, the finished word of God. And I have to emphasize this because there's a lot of Christians sometimes that will not read the Bible, but they're waiting for some type of burning bush to know that they have to do what's right. I'm not going to start going to church unless I get some vision or dream. I'm not going to get saved unless I have a dream that tells me I need to do that. One time I had a lady tell me, I'm not going to get baptized because I had a dream that said I shouldn't get baptized. And so many people look to all of these experiences, and we got to be very careful about that. That the primary source that we turn to today is the Word of God. We believe God's Word is infallible, it's inerrant, and we also believe it's sufficient, meaning it's enough. It's enough. That's an important principle. Some people today don't think the Bible is enough. I need something more. And sometimes they'll find something that's a counterfeit of what God's actually doing. It's a very dangerous thing. If God desires to communicate his message to us, God is God. He can use whatever means he wants. He can use a vision. He can use a missionary. He can use all types of various means. There's no limit. I'm not trying to limit God. God can do anything. That's who he is. But I'm telling you, for us as Christians, we got to be very careful. If God does send a vision or a dream or an angel or whatever, I tell you one thing, it's not going to contradict his word. Right? We can't start to elevate dreams and visions and all these things over the Bible or even equal to the Bible. Some people are very careful that the Bible is our authority. This is God's word to us. It's infallible. It's perfect. Guess what? You can have some bad pizza tonight and have a dream, and doesn't necessarily mean that's what God's trying to tell you to do. If you, the more we learn of science, we learn our brain literally is an organ. It does a lot of different things. There's things that come from ourselves. Sometimes our own self is giving us things that it wants to do. And then we also realize that we have an enemy. Satan, the Bible says, can even transform himself into an angel of light and try to deceive people. So that's why the Bible is very clear that we go to his word, the complete word of God, and we can't fail. So God speaks to us primarily through his word. And visions and dreams and all these things can never be given equal or greater authority than the Word of God. This is our ultimate authority for our faith and practice. But let's go back to this case with Nebuchadnezzar. Let's go back to Daniel 2. Because he didn't have, obviously, the completed Bible. And the Bible wasn't completed until much later. And so God, this is one of the ways God would reveal himself. But he was a pagan king, a Gentile king. But God had a purpose behind what he was doing. But let's look closer. He has this dream. He makes this demand to his wise men. And we're going to see tonight the wise men fail. The wise men fail. Let's go back to Daniel 2. And it says in verse 3, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. That was a common way of greeting and honoring the king in those days. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. You will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof. Ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Now, these wise men, astrologers, magicians, and Chaldeans are basically kind of soothsayers. They were part of the king's inner circle, his council. And we obviously know that much of what they often did was either trickery or demonic. There's really only two options. Either it was total trickery, or it was real, but it was demonic power, not God's power. And here the king, it's hard to say if he actually forgot or if he's putting them to a logical test. In other words, they could have easily said, well, this is what it means, and blah, 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 so on and so forth. But the king said, listen, if you're actually going to be able to predict the future and help me, then you ought to be able to tell me what I dream first. Pretty interesting test he put before them. Now, with this test came a threat, too. And we know that these rulers in those days, he wasn't pulling any punches here. These were not empty threats. He would throw them in a fiery furnace. He would do all of this, right? He would destroy their homes. Their homes would be made dunghills, and they'd be cut in pieces. He would follow through on this threat. So the wise men are in a lot of peril. They're fearing their lives, I'm sure. And Nebuchadnezzar has these dreams. He's trying to find the interpretation of these dreams. And in all of this is the purpose of God, the plan of God, the will of God. And notice how the best of what the world offers, because this is the world empire at the time. So this is the wisest people on planet Earth. These are the most trusted people, people who turn to for answers. They can't answer. They can't find the solution. You know what? That's still happening today. A lot of people are wondering, what's happening in our world? Where are things headed? And we know as Christians, God has already told us who wins in the end. He's already told us where things are headed. So we already know what we need to be focused on. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. He's coming for us. That we're not just living for this sinful world. That we're living in light of eternity, in light of heaven, in light of Christ's kingdom. So God's counsel, God's plan, God's will, and God's wisdom contrasted with the wisdom and plans of this world. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Proverbs 19, 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Someone said, man proposes, but God disposes. And we can make our plans and think we're so wise and we're in control, we're in charge, and we come to realize God's the only the one that's in control. He's the one with all authority, wisdom, and power and might. That's why it's far better for us to submit our plans to His will. Lord, what's your plan for my life? I want to discover your will and follow that. That ought to be our mindset. But the wise men here, they're being put to the test. And despite all their wisdom, whether real or imagined, they had no answer for King Nebuchadnezzar. Because only God could bring the answer. Only God could do this. And with this ultimatum, the people continue making their petitions. In Daniel 2, verse 7, they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream. And we will show the interpretation of it. But hey, you need to be the ones that tell us to dream first. They didn't try to fool the king, because I'm sure they were afraid of the consequences of going down that road. But nevertheless, the king still realized that they were stalling. They were stalling for more time. And so he made a decree that they would all be put to death. In verse 8, the king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time change. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. And it continues down to verse 13, that he makes this decree, all right, he gave the word, they're going to all be put to death, all of the wise men, including Daniel and his friends. Thirdly, we're going to see that God reveals a dream to Daniel. You know, someone asked, how do I know? How can I know that the Bible is true, that it's the Word of God, comparing to the Quran or the writings of Hinduism or Buddhism or all the other major world religions out there? I'll tell you one big reason is fulfilled prophecy. That God is the only one that's the revealer of secrets, as Daniel here is going to give evidence to. That there are this season, this Christmas season we're celebrating, this is a fulfillment of prophecy that we honor, that Christ was born in, according to God's word, exactly where God said he would be born, according to Micah 5:2, in the manner God said he'd be born, of a virgin, according to the prophet Isaiah. And the Bible literally says, when the fullness of time, literally God had a purpose and the exact timing in human history when Christ would come forth. And that's not all. There's a lot of prophecies about his first coming that were fulfilled, and there's many about his second coming that in the same manner will be accurately fulfilled. The Bible is chock full of fulfilled prophecy, and it's God who is in control, and he's the revealer of secrets. And here Nebuchadnezzar is furious and sentences all his wise men to death. And Daniel hears about this in verse 14, and he asks for a brief extension. Give us some more time. And he does something that all of us as believers can learn from. He goes to God in prayer. What do we do when we're faced with an impossible situation? All we can do is to pray. To pray. I can think of no greater act of acknowledging the sovereignty of God and humbling ourselves than prayer. Saying, God, I can't, but you can. That's what prayer is. Prayer is a declaration of dependence on God. That, Lord, we need your help. We need your intervention. Daniel prays and asks God for wisdom. Some have noted Daniel is a man of purpose. We saw that in chapter 1. He's a man of prayer. We're going to see that throughout the book of Daniel. And he's a man of prophecy. And here we see Daniel as a man of prayer. And Nebuchadnezzar's dream was an unusual one. And Daniel first begins his prayer by acknowledging God. Look at verse number 18. That they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know, that phrase, that title for God, he's the God of heaven, is important. Because the Babylonians had all of these gods of the stars, sun, moon. And what Daniel is saying is, my God is over your gods. He's the God of heaven. He created all of those things. And that, I enjoy, you know, whenever we discover all types of things, you know, the new telescope that NASA has up there, it's amazing all that they're seeing. And we marvel at the sun, moon, and stars and how everything is in order. And as Christians, we celebrate those things that God made. We worship the Creator, not just the creation. And we can say, my God made that. My God put that there. My God's sovereign over that. He's in control. He's upholding that. What a wonderful thing to be able to understand God as our Creator. He's the God of heaven. And then Daniel quickly, in a night vision, was given the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation of that dream. And what this teaches is that God is the one who's the God of history. History literally is his story. He's bringing everything to his purpose, his plans. And now he reveals some of that to Daniel. In verse number 26, it says, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he goes on to explain the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. It's interesting, God's purpose in this. He wanted Nebuchadnezzar to have this divine revelation. He wanted him to know. And in verses 31 to 35, Daniel explains the forgotten dream, and then in the latter verses of the chapter, he gives the interpretation. We'll spend more time next week talking specifically about the interpretation. But let's quickly look at a few key things in this dream. Verse 31, he sees a great image, a statue that kind of corresponds to a human form. And it says it was a great image, meaning it was very large and very impressive. It was a sight to behold. Even when it says terrible, it's the idea of something that just, it would just strike you with awe and wonder when you saw it. He sees this great, very large, impressive image, and Daniel describes the characteristics of this image, the metallic nature of it. And in describing it, you can see it's kind of top-heavy. There's fine gold, silver, brass, and then iron, and kind of a mixture of iron and clay at the bottom. And this is a top-heavy structure that is really going to be prone to falling down and being crushed to pieces, is the idea. It represents deterioration and decline, the feet being part iron and part clay. It's a statue, it's an image that is bound to fall. And I'll say this, mankind thinks we're so great, all that we've built and established in civilization, the kings and kingdoms and leaders that have come on the world stage, and God is saying all of it is bound to fall. All of it is bound to be destroyed, and here's how it's going to happen. He says in verse 34, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And that stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." You see, the king saw this stone that was cut without hands that came and destroyed that image. Just completely destroyed it into pieces. And the image is the idea of it's rapidly just being destroyed and broken down and blown away. Just blown away like dust and debris, as if it was never there. And this stone cut without hands is very significant. That stone cut without hands is the fact that it's pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures refer to him as the rock, our chief cornerstone, right? The cornerstone of our faith. He is that rock. And he's this great mountain that his kingdom will fill the whole earth. And we'll study more about that in the coming verses. But this stone completely destroys that image. That shows all of the things that mankind thinks are so important will be destroyed. And all that's left will be Jesus and his kingdom. May we keep that in our vision as Christians. It's still future even for us. And sometimes it's so easy to just get so caught up in the web of what's happening in Russia or election or what's happening or even in our personal lives and how's everything going to work out. And we can have anxiety and distress and be troubled just like Nebuchadnezzar was troubled. And all we have to do is realize that, Lord, you have a plan and purpose for this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And I'm not living just for this world. This world's going to be destroyed one day. I'm living in light of that rock, that stone that's cut without hand, because he's the creator. He's not created. He's the creator. I'm living for him. That's the picture we need to have as Christians. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 9:33, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense." That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we're reminded that God's purpose and his plans will stand. And our response to that is faith. It's submission and obedience to him. Trust in his governance over all of human history, but also all the details of my life, all the individual circumstances and trials and troubles. I realize, Lord, you're in control. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the tremendous truths that it gives to us. Help us to take them to heart tonight. Help us to apply them to our lives, that we see you and give you the rightful place as our sovereign God, ruling and reigning, in control. Lord, I pray you'd help us to not get so deceived and discouraged by trials and circumstances, by events that happen in this life. Help us to live in light of all that you're doing and bringing us to. Help us to be like Daniel, who lived with purpose, lived with prayer, was able to see you use him in a mighty way as he trusted and submitted himself to you. May we have that same type of character and faith and submission. Would you help us the rest of our service? Meet with us in our prayer time, we ask.